listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, and it is with great pleasure that I say we are joined by Reggie Littlejohn, one of the women I admire most in the whole world. She is the president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers, has been a heroic champion, a freedom fighter, really, for particularly the downtrodden, the people of China, notably, but other parts of the world as well, especially women who have been subjected to the horrors of the one-child policy. She is the screenwriter and producer of Pearls of China, a feature-length drama about this policy and its implications, including forced abortion for women. And when I say women, it's, of course, families. There are men as well as the women most immediately involved who are all savaged by this practice. She is a lawyer by training, has been extraordinarily influential, particularly in trying to call attention to sex selection practices, as abortion is sometimes used, including a film she's been involved with called It's a Girl, which featured at the Amnesty International Film Festival in 2013. Reggie Littlejohn, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, where to begin? I know you're focused on, as we all should be, the plight of a woman by the name of Lu Xia in China. Tell us why that's so and what we know of that plight.
Okay, so Lu Xia is the widow of Liu Xiaobo. Liu Xiaobo, he was one of the leaders of the Tiananmen Square pro-democracy movement, and he was also one of the key writers of something called the Charter 08, which was a manifesto signed by about 350 Chinese intellectuals initially, and then more than 10,000 after that. It was a manifesto for democracy and human rights in China. And so for that, in 2009, he was put in jail. In 2010, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. And, of course, was not allowed to travel to Stockholm to receive the prize, and so received it in absentia. And there was an empty chair representing him there. He was in jail until just a couple weeks ago. The Chinese government just announced very shortly before his death that he had late-stage liver cancer. There was a big movement to try to get him out of China. He and his wife wanted to come out of China to the United States for medical treatment. That was not allowed. So he died in custody of the Chinese Communist Party. And Liu Xia, his wife, has been under house arrest ever since he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2010. Extrajudicial. She's never been charged with a crime and has been cut off from the outside world. She has been suffering with severe depression, reportedly, since 2013. And she also reportedly had a heart attack in 2013. And so she was seen at the funeral of Liu Xiaobo. They cremated him and spread his ashes on the ocean, presumably, and human rights activists have criticized this movement, presumably to prevent her from becoming a pilgrimage site where his body would be buried. And what is most disturbing is that Liu Xia has not been seen since that sea burial. And so there is great concern about her. The Chinese government has said she's free. That is just laughable. I wrote a press release yesterday. It was an open letter to President Trump, Secretary Tillerson, Ambassador to China Branstad, and members of the U.S. Congress to join together to free Liu Xia. And Chen Guanchen, the blind activist, and his wife joined me in that letter.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that evidently your appeals have been heard at least by one member of the House of Representatives, Representative Sandy Levin of Michigan, who has introduced legislation calling on the Chinese to do as you say with respect to this long-suffering woman, Liu Xia. When you hope for a resolution to this present drama, is there really any solution for her other than her being brought, say, to the United States or somewhere in the West?
I don't think that she can lead a free life in China. They have abused her terribly. And I read somewhere that when Liu Xiaobo had requested to come to the United States for medical treatment at the end of his life, someone close to him had thought that perhaps that actually was a move to get Liu Xia, his wife, out of the country so that when he died, at least she would be in a free country. I don't see any solution for her other than to leave China. My hope would be that she would come to the United States. And there have been calls for her. Since Representative Levin's appeal or resolution appeared on the very same day that my letter came out, I don't think that I can really take credit for that. I think he was thinking about it beforehand. But also, Congressman Chris Smith and Senator Marco Rubio have written a letter on her behalf, and President Trump has even mentioned her. So we just need to continue to press the Chinese government to free her, because if not, I think that her physical and her mental health have been destroyed. That's what a close friend said, that she has been physically and mentally destroyed by this whole experience. And I would like her to come to the United States and heal.
That seems the bare minimum that the Chinese can do after all of this. We're talking with Reggie Littlejohn, the founder and president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers. And in a way, I wanted to talk about this story, Reggie, because it's sort of a corrective to something I read in the Wall Street Journal earlier this week, a front page story, as I recall, that featured prominently the idea that Chinese are just overwhelmingly enthusiastic about their government and falling into line behind what has come to be called the China Dream of Xi Jinping. It sounded like Chinese communist propaganda to me, but it at the very least put us on notice that the sort of nationalist ambitions that the government of Xi has been exhibiting lately in terms of territorial conquest, in terms of picking fights with its neighbors, in terms of throwing its weight around, in terms of threats to us, for that matter, as well as the use of its proxy North Korea to do the same. Would you just talk a little bit from the perspective that you particularly have done so much to address and to illuminate for the rest of us, Reggie, but it's kind of a microcosm, as is Liu Xia's story, of how the Chinese treat their own people, namely the continuing practice of population control involving, among other things, a kind of policing of women's vaginas and forced abortions.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Frank, because when the Chinese government switched from a one-child policy to a two-child policy last year, it was announced by the Chinese government in a very misleading way. And of course, you know, the mainstream media just echoed that, which is they said that they had, quote, abandoned, end quote, the one-child policy. And what that does, that is, it gives the impression that there's no more coercive population control in China anymore, which is patently false. So as you were mentioning, women still have to undergo cervical checkups or at least ultrasounds every quarter to make sure that they are not illegally pregnant. And if they are, they still have to face the consequences. So the new rule is that every couple in China is now allowed to have two children. So you have to be a member of a couple. It remains illegal in China for a single woman to have a baby. And then every couple is allowed to have two children. What that indicates is that the infrastructure of coercion is still 100% in place, and they still are doing forced abortions, particularly of third children. So unmarried women and women who are pregnant with a third child are still subject to forced abortion in China. So really, there is no China dream. It continues to be a China nightmare.
Reggie Littlejohn, we have to leave it at that for the moment, but thank you so much for your time today. As always, I deeply appreciate the work you do at Women's Rights Without Frontiers. Keep it up. Come back to us as soon as possible, and best of luck with your campaign on behalf of Liu Xia. Next up, we'll be speaking with Itamar Marcus about a catastrophic decision by the government of Israel to accommodate rather than resist Sharia supremacists in the Palestinian areas. Straight ahead.